Paramahamsa Parvajagacharya Asvacharya Sutta Sri Sri Mata Divine Grace Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nathapati Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Gopadana Ki Jai Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai Ganga Majanini Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Gopinath
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to the assembled devotees.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Mata Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Saraswati Devi. All of us. Nirvasa Sasamadhi Paskachadi. Vande Hum Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamala Shri Guru Sashanita Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sujivan Sadvaitam Sadvaditam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghita Shri Vishakam Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. June 8th, 2011, Skype class from Hilo, Hawaii.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, Text 11 to 12. Satsangam mukta du sango.
Satsangam mukta sango.
Hatum noksa hate buddha.
Hatum noksa hate buddha.
Kirtyamanam yaso yasa.
Kirtyamanam yaso yasya.
Sakrita karnya rochanam.
Sakrit aparnya rochanam.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Sa evan viraham katam.
Sahiran virahang katam.
Darshana sparsa samlapa.
Darshana sparsa samlapa.
Sayana sana bojanai.
Sayana sana bojanai. Satsangan muktad usango.
Satsangan mukta du sango.
Atumno sahate buddha.
Atumno sahate buddha.
Kirtyamanam yasho yasya.
Kirtyamanam yasho yasya.
Sakrit akarnya rochanam.
Sakrit akarnya rochanam.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Saharan virahankatam.
Saharan virahankatam.
Darshana sparsha sambhapa.
Darshana sparsha sambhapa.
Shayana sanna bhojanai.
Shayana shana bojanai. Satsangan mukta du sango.
Satsangan mukta du sango.
Hantung no sahate buddha.
Hantung no sahate buddha.
Kirtyamanang yasho yasya.
Kirtyamanang yasho yasya.
Sakrit akarnya rochanam.
Sakrit akarnya rochanam.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Saheran viraham katam.
Saheran viraham katam.
Darshaya sparsha sanglapa.
Darshana sparsha sanglapa.
Shaya nasana bojanai.
Shaya nasana bojanai.
Satsangan mukta dushano.
Satum no sahate buddha.
Hatum no sahate buddha.
Hatum no sahate buddha.
Kirtaya kirtamanam yasho yasya.
Kirtyamanam yasho yasya.
Sakrit akarnya rochanam.
Sakrit akarnya rochanam.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Tasmin yasta diya partha.
Sahiran viraham katam.
Sahiran viraham katam.
Darshana sparsha samlapa.
Darshana sparsha samlapa.
Shayan asana bojanai.
Shayan asana bojanai. Satsangan mukta du sango.
Atum no sahate buddha.
Hatuno sahate buddha.
Yatyamanam yasho yasya.
Yatyamanam yasho yasya.
Sakrita kanya rochanam.
Sakrita kanya rochanam.
Asmin yasta diapa.
Asmin yasta diapa.
Sahiran viraham katam.
Sahiran viraham katam.
Darshana sparsha sangvapa.
Darshana sparsha sangvapa.
Sayanasana bhojanai.
Sayanasana bhojanai.
Satsangat.
Satsangat.
By the Association of Pure Devotees.
By the Association of Pure Devotees.
Mukta Du Sangha.
Mukta Du Sangha.
Freed from bad materialistic association.
Freed
from bad materialistic association.
Hatu.
Hatu.
To give up.
To give up.
Na Utsahate.
Na Utsahate.
Utsahate.
Never attempt.
Never
Buddha.
Buddha.
One who has understood the Lord.
One who has understood the Lord.
Kirchamanam.
Kirchamanam.
Glorifying.
Glorifying.
Yashaha.
Yashaha.
Fame.
Fame.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Who's?
Food.
Sakrit.
Sakrit.
Once only.
Once only.
Akarnya.
Akarnya.
Hearing only.
Hearing only.
Rochanam.
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 Pleasing.
Pleasing.
Tasmin.
Tasmin.
Unto him.
Unto him.
Nyasadhyaya.
Nyasadhyaya.
One who has given his mind unto him.
One who has given his
mind unto him.
Partaha.
Partaha.
The sons of Krita.
The sons of Krita.
The sons of Krita.
Saheran.
Saheran.
And tolerate.
Can tolerate.
Viraham.
Viraham.
Separation.
Separation.
Katam.
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 Darshana.
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 Seeing face to face.
Seeing face to face.
Seeing face.
Sparsha.
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 Touching.
Touching.
Sangvapa.
Sangvapa.
Conversing.
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 Shayana.
Shayana.
Sleeping.
Shayana.
Sleeping.
Asana.
Asana.
Sitting.
Sitting.
Bhojanai.
Bhojanai.
Dining together.
Dining together.
If I could interrupt just for a moment before you read the translation.
Srila Prabhupada.
Mother Irmila?
Huh?
I was just going to, first of all, thank you very much for giving class this morning. For everybody that just tuned in, we're on 1, 10, 11 through 12, Srimad Bhagavatam. Please, I'm going to ask everybody if you could mute, and that way I won't have
to. Okay, I'm speaking.
Mother Irmila, just give me 1 second, and I'll mute everybody. It'll just take 1 second.
That's muted, then unmuted. Okay, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka, Text 11 through 12. The intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become freed from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation? For they had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him. Okay, let's look, before we go into the purport, let's look closely at this verse. This verse basically, it's two verses. It has two parts, therefore, in the translation. The first, it's a comparison. So it's comparing the devotees who've not had personal association with the Lord to the Pandavas who have had personal association with the Lord. So it's saying devotees, a certain class of devotees. Satsangat muktadusanga. Du means bad. So satsangat, sat is eternal. They're in association with the eternal. Mukta means free from. Dusanga, bad association. They have association with the eternal and they're free from bad association. That's two of their qualifications. Then they've heard only once, sakrit, arkarnya. They've only once heard. Such devotees, even if they've only once heard, they can't give up. They're not able, hatum utsahate. They cannot give up, always thinking about the Lord, always remembering his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So that's someone, they've only heard only once. They have good association, they don't have bad association, and still they can't bear to be separated from hearing about the Lord. That's the first part. Second part is, what about these sons of Pritha? What about these Pandavas? How could they possibly bear, how could they tolerate Sarerhan? How could they tolerate Viraham? As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Govinda Virahename. How could they associate, how could they tolerate being separated from Krishna? Because they had, how, Katam? Because they had Darshana? Varsha Samlapa Sayan Asana Bhojanai. Darshan, they would see him face to face. Prabhupada says it word for word. Sparsha, they touch him. Samlapa, they would talk to him. Sayana, they'd be sleeping in the same room with him. Asana, sitting on the same seat with him. Bhojanai, they'd be eating with him. So this is in the context, Krishna's leaving now, the battle of Kurukshetra is over. Krishna's started to leave for Dwarka. Kunti offered her prayers. Now Krishna is actually leaving for Dwarka, the city of gates. He's leaving Hastinapur, the city of elephants. And how would the Pandavas be able to tolerate, they who have seen the Lord, touched the Lord, spoken with the Lord, slept in the same room with the Lord, sat with the Lord, and eaten with the Lord, how will they be able to tolerate separation from him when the devotees who are at the level of good association and free from bad association, and who have had hearing only once about the Lord, cannot tolerate the separation. Okay. So that's the verse. Now we're going to the purport. The living being's constitutional position is one of serving a superior. He is obliged to serve by force the dictates of illusory material energy in different phases of sense gratification. And in serving the senses, he is never tired. For though he may be tired, the illusory energy perpetually forces him to do so without being satisfied. There is no end to such sense gratificatory business, and the conditioned soul becomes entangled in such servitude without hope of release. The release is only effected by association with pure devotees. By such association, one is gradually promoted to his transcendental consciousness. Thus he can know that his eternal position is to render service unto the Lord and not to the perverted senses in the capacity of lust, anger, desire to lord it over, etc. Material, society, friendship, and love are all different phases of lust. Home, country, family, society, wealth, and all sorts of corollaries are all causes of bondage in the material world, where the threefold miseries of life are concomitant factors. As one associates with pure devotees and hears them submissively, attachment for material enjoyment slackens, and attraction for hearing about the transcendental activities of the Lord becomes prominent. Once this attraction begins, It goes on progressively increasing without stoppage, like fire in gunpowder. It is said that Hari, the personality of Godhead, is so transcendentally attractive that even those who are self-satisfied by self-realization and are factually liberated from all bondage also become devotees of the Lord. Under the circumstances, it is easily understood what must have been the position of the Pandavas, who were constant companions of the Lord. They could not even think of separation from Sri Krishna, since the attraction was more intense for them because of continuous personal contact. Their position in separation from him was no less than that of the gopis of Vrindavana. The Lord being absolute, however, separation from him is as good as personal contact. His remembrance by his form, quality, name, fame, pastimes, etc., is also attractive for the pure devotee, so much so that he forgets all forms, quality, name, fame, and activities of the mundane world, and due to his mature association with other pure devotees, he is not out of contact with the Lord for a moment. Satsangam muktastu sango hatsu nok sahate buddha kirtyamanam yasho yasha sakrit akarnya rochanam tasmin yasta diya partha sahiran viharam katam darshanam sparsha samlapa sayanasana bhojanai. The intelligent who have understood the Supreme Lord in association with pure devotees and have become free from bad materialistic association can never avoid hearing the glories of the Lord, even though they have heard them only once. How then could the Pandavas tolerate his separation, for they had been intimately associated with his person, seeing him face to face, touching him, conversing with him, and sleeping, sitting, and dining with him? The Prabhupada in this purport backs up a little bit, give us some background on the first two terms, satsangam, muktaju sangha. What does this mean? And he talks about being forced to serve the dictates of the illusory energy, that even though he's tired, he's forced without being satisfied. So, of course, this is the nature of serving a dictator, someone who vows allegiance to a cruel person. They're forced to serve that person, although they don't want to serve them anymore. Sometimes this happens to young persons who run away from home and they're captured by some evil person who forces them into prostitution or thievery. If they try to run away, they're beaten. And they don't want to serve their master, but they don't know how to get away. They hate their master, and yet they are forced to go on serving, and all the profit is given to the master. They don't get to keep any. They are living like a dog. So this is the reality of serving the illusory energy. As Jesus said, the wages of sin is death. That's the payment that you get by serving, now not exactly serving Mayadevi. Mayadevi is also Vaishnavi. But by serving this illusory conception that I am the Lord of material nature, that's the real Satan. Not that there's a person named Satan. It seems that the concept of Satan was taken from the idea of Lord Shiva, who's the Lord of nature. But Lord Shiva and Durga Devi, they're Vaishnavas. They're not evil at all. What's evil is our desire to serve our senses, our desire to be the Lord of matter. And then instead of being the Lord of matter, Prabhupada says, you know, we are a slave. We are obliged to serve by force. That means a slave. And we're never satisfied. Never satisfied. The wife says to the husband, dear, if you just buy me this house I want, then I will be happy. And he works so hard and takes out a big mortgage and he buys the house. And 2 weeks later, she says, okay, now you bought me the house. Now please buy me the car. So he works so hard and gets her the car that she wants. And then after a while, she says, what about this? And as Prabhupada said, when the man gets older and says, okay, now I want to take sannyas. I've given my whole life to the family. She'll say, what have you given? You've given nothing. And this is in general, whatever master we serve in this world. And Prabhupada mentions material society, friendship and love, home, country, family, society, wealth, whoever we're serving in this world, we think, if I just do this, then they'll be happy with me. It doesn't work. We're never satisfied. Those we serve are not satisfied. We're not satisfied. And we get so tired. But still, we don't give up. We go on serving, 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 without ever really being satisfied. We're being whipped by our senses and our mind, and our ego. So this is our position when we try to become the Lord of matter. But one who associates with devotees, satsanga, sat. Sat means eternal, also means truth. Talk about satyagun, satya, the mode of goodness, good, truth, eternal. Krishna says of the eternal, there is no cessation. Of the temporary, there's no real existence. What is truth is always truth, truth with a capital T. There are small truths, like I'm sitting in a room in Hilo, Hawaii, but that's not a capital T truth, because in just a few moments, I will be someplace else, doing something else. And in just a few moments, in eternal time, there won't be any Hilo, Hawaii, nor will there be any manifestation of me in this body. So by truth, we mean something that's last, something that's always true, something that's always authentic. And what is always true is also good. The eternal truth is good. So those who finally come to something that is always true, that always has been true, that is true, that always will be true, and that is full of goodness, pure goodness, visuddha sattva, no exploitation, no envy, no cheating. Persons who come to that association, they find it very easy to mukta dusanga. Dusanga, bad association. They become free from this falsity that Sarvapadi Vinimutanta Parking Nimala Rishikesha Rishikesha Devanam Bhakti. They become free from these upadis. I am the husband of this person. I am the wife of this person. I am an American. I am an Indian. I am a man. I am a woman. I am old. I am a conservative. I am a liberal, I am a traditionalist. I am a this. I become free from all of this false association. And becoming free from the falsity, one feels refreshed and relieved, like you take a bath after being dirty and sweaty on a hot summer day and drink some cool coconut milk or lemonade or something like that. And then we feel refreshed internally and externally. You know, being free from the upadis doesn't mean that one no longer works within the world. That's not what it means. Although it might mean that. It might mean externally taking sannyas. But for most people, it doesn't mean that. Krishna says such a person has no need to do his material duties, nor has he any need to give them up. It doesn't matter anymore. There's this bhogatyaga is finished. And one can then do one's duties as a service, as Arjuna was asked to do. Or one can walk away from them, as Uddhava was asked to do. But one who's, how does one come to that point? How does one come to the point where one sees Maya for what it is, where one is no longer the slave of illusion and falsity, and where one becomes instead the willing, loving servant of truth and goodness and light in love rather than in force? One does this by hearing the glories of the Lord, even if only once. Satam prasangam mama virya sambido bhavanti ritkarna rasayanam kata tajoshana rachvapavarga vartmini shradavatir bhakti anu kamishchiti. Satam, again we have satam prasanga, the pleasing sangha of the satam. What do we hear? Mama virya samvido. Wonderful, the virya, the potent, the powerful. Prabhupada, in speaking on today's verse, talks about how Krishna's activities are virya. They're powerful, they're potent. Virya can mean a strong warrior. It also means someone who's potent. a man who's able, Prabhupada says, to impregnate his wife, or the seed that will grow in the ground. My granddaughter just planted a mango seed, and she's watering it. When is it going to grow? So how disappointing to plant the seed and nothing grows. Sometimes that happens, right? Not all seeds are potent. But hearing of Krishna activity, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. Ritkarna goes from the ears right to the heart. It is so pleasing. Right? And even as we're reading today, Sakrit Akarnya, only once as this nectar flows in the ears and down to the heart, this virya katam, this powerful, potent kata, it starts to sprout a seed. The dormant seed of love of God that is in all of our hearts, our real nature, the siddhadeya, the perfect body, the actual feelings of love starts to grow. And when it starts to grow and we're in the truth which is love and relationships and personality and kindness, this beautiful form of Shyama Sundara is the form of love, but not some insipid love, not some love, not like that, but a charming love, sweet love, impetuous love, tricky and cunning and joking and coming and going, as Prabhupada says here at the end of the purport, where the separation and the meeting is equally the same. The trickster, he who speaks in double and triple meanings, who is full of adventure, when that truth and that love starts to sprout in the heart just once, one is not interested anymore in being the slave of illusion and falsity. But one wants to be the willing, loving servant of truth. Just once. One never wants to be separated. There's no question of ever being separated. Therefore, Narada Muni says that once the devotee has tasted just once, he never again is fallen like an ordinary conditioned soul, because he can't help but remember again and again and again. And we see that once one takes up this process of Krishna consciousness, if there was ever anything genuine, even for a moment, such a person can never forget, even if they appear to fall, even if they appear to fall completely, even if they begin eating meat, they cannot forget. Right? They cannot forget how wonderful Krishna is. That taste comes back again and again and again. And unless they become a Maha Vaishnava Parati, they are ultimately, as Prabhupada says, dragged to full success. What to speak of the perfected souls? What to speak of the Pandavas? If such is the case for even the beginner, even one who has given up bad association and taken to the truth and started to have the sproutings of the seed of love of God in his heart, if such a person cannot forget, if such a person keeps coming back, where is that place where I found the real satisfaction? I remember when I was a teenager, there was one restaurant where we could get really good cheesecake. It was very far away. I had to drive about 45 minutes each way to get there. It wasn't a particularly nice restaurant, but that cheesecake was really good. And we would keep going back there again and again. And once one has tasted the real thing, the real nectar, everything else becomes pale like dust. Who wants to eat dust? False promises. No interest. Oh, just do this and you will become the lord of matter. And one lips curl in disgust. you walk away not interested. So what to speak of the Pandavas if the magnet of Krishna is so strong, drawing the iron even of the neophyte who has once tasted that nectar? And what to speak of the attraction for the Pandavas? How could they bear Krishna's leaving Hastinapur to go to Dwarka? They had not just heard about him. It wasn't just a seed sprouting in the heart. They were seeing him face to face. Just to see Krishna once face to face, the ladies of Mathura, when Krishna came to kill Kamsa, they went on their balconies. They left everything. They left combing their hair or feeding their husbands or nursing their babies just to get one brief glimpse. Just to get a brief glimpse. And people are, they do so much trouble to get some brief glimpse of beauty. Come here to Hawaii just to see a waterfall. I had a friend on Oahu who asked me if I wanted to go to on a hike to see a waterfall, and the hike was covered with mud-covered stones. He almost slipped 100,000 times going up, coming down, just to see some waterfall for 5 minutes. How much people are anxious to see the beauty of Krishna. The Pandavas were seeing him constantly. Seeing him, not only seeing him, they were talking with him. To hear the voice of Krishna rumbling like the clouds. Twice in the 10th canto, it's explained how the clouds are Krishna's friends because they have the same color of Krishna and they pour water. They pour water on the people to quench their thirst, to grow the plants. Krishna's voice rumbles like the thundering of clouds. It's so sweet and so enchanting. Just his breathing, not even his speaking, just his breathing becomes the Vedas, all knowledge. All knowledge, all truth. His breath blowing through his flute becomes the Gayatri Mantra, and entering into the heart of Brahma comes out as the sound of the Vedas and as the creation of all living beings. And Krishna's talks are so clever and joking. He loves to talk with shades of meaning, two meanings, three meanings, unlimited meaning. As Prabhupada says, we should study these verses from many angles of vision. How many meanings are in one verse? As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the Atmarama verse, which Srila Prabhupada refers to in this purport, 64 meanings for the Atmarama verse. At first he gave 9 and 64. How many meanings? We read earlier how Bhishma spoke on thousands of subjects with thousands of meanings, but Krishna speak on unlimited subjects with unlimited meanings and nuances. And how sweet to unravel the different meanings and the joking and the banter. Hasya, pari, hasya, sambhasane. They're laughing, joking, talking with one another. They were talking with Krishna, hearing his voice, touching him. So soft. Krishna is so soft that if just a leaf brushes against him, he changes color. And yet he's the greatest warrior. He alone, he and Balaram alone could defeat the whole army of Jarasandha. As no one can harm him. It's so soft, and they were touching a soft Lord, sleeping in the same room with him, intimate, so intimate. With whom do you sleep in the same room? You have to really trust somebody to sleep in the same room. And you're sleeping, you're vulnerable. So one only sleeps in the same room, right? Why do we have a room? To keep out the weather and the bugs, but also to keep out people who will harm us in our sleep, thieves and rogues. So whom you sleep with in your room, those are people you really trust. Very intimate, sleeping with him. Asana, sitting with him. As equals, it's not said here, but implied. Bhojanai, dining together. So we sadhakas, we don't dine together with Krishna. We first feed Krishna, we feed him in his own room. we close the curtains or close the altar doors. We don't watch him eating. And we eat when he's done in a separate room. We are the servants. We are treating Krishna as our master, and we are his servants. Ah, but the Pandavas, they were eating with Krishna. Bhojanai. How could one bear, after doing that for so long, Krishna was with the Pandavas for so long, trying to settle things so there wouldn't be a battle, back and forth, peace messenger, mediator, fighting the battle, trying to pacify Maharaj Yudhisthira, seeing Bhishma. He was there for so long. If we had Krishna even for a moment, we would never want to lose him. And yet the Pandavas were losing him. How could they bear it? So this is another kind of never being satiated. And we're saying material life, one's never satisfied. The devotees are also never satisfied seeing the Lord, but they are satisfied at the same time. That is the difference. In material life, we're actually never satisfied. I mean, you might say, well, maybe for a moment. But even that's not full satisfaction. Kalayama Shashvatam. Anitya Asitam. Material satisfaction, first of all, it doesn't touch the self. It's of the body and mind only. It's like having a shiny car when you're dirty as the driver sitting inside. You take some pleasure that your car is clean and shiny, but you don't feel personally refreshed. It's something like that. It's happening to something outside you, not touching you. And then it's mixed with fear because it's temporary. So if one is enjoying some conjugal relationship, one is thinking, when will this end? When will my spouse, my partner die? Or when will they leave me or cheat on me? When will we get into an argument and we won't feel such connection anymore? So one is always filled with fear. Eating good food, will I eat too much and get a stomach ache? When will it be taken away from me? Always fears. It doesn't touch ourselves and mix with fear. Plus, gotten at so much trouble, all the happiness in the world gotten with so much trouble. Therefore, it never satisfies. One's always hankering after it, but it never satisfies. It's the spiritual happiness. One is also still always hankering after it. It's not that one says, okay, now I'm satisfied. Okay, now I got Krishna. Now I saw Krishna. Now done. Business done. Now I'm satisfied. No. One is fully satisfied. Fully and completely. Anandam buddhivardhanam. An ocean of satisfaction. Unlimited ocean of satisfaction. Quality and quantity, both. The quality is real because it's touching the self. It's genuine. It's authentic satisfaction. It's the satisfaction of the driver, not the car. And it goes on and on and on, and still one thinks, I want to get more. I want to get more. How can we understand? Perfect, and yet I want to get more. I never will have enough. So the devotee feels, I never have enough of seeing Krishna. Not if Krishna's been with me for a few months. Okay, that's enough. Now I can do something else. No, never get me. But yet we see that Krishna's meeting and separation are both satisfying. And Krishna does this with all his devotees, even with Radharani. Meeting and separation. In fact, sometimes the separation is described as more wonderful. Radharani says, in separation I see millions of Krishna. In meeting I only see one. In separations, one thought of Krishna is more intense. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exists in separation from himself, a feeling of separation from himself, where he's absorbed in this love, in this loving relationship. So this is with Krishna. It's one's fully satisfied unlimitedly, and yet one is never satiated. And there's exchanges of meeting and separation and varieties of activities. So how to enter into this state? how to throw off our shackles of slavery, the obligation to serve, illusion where we're always tired, and to become the willing, loving servitors of the truth, to enter into the wellspring of happiness that we're seeking for, to regain our original position, which is not less than that of the Pandavas. We all have our original position as Krishna's devotees. We have our own relationship. Abhava bhavita diyo manu jastitaiva sampraapya rupa mahima sani anabhusha sukthayam evan gamata pitaistu manu jivani manu purusham tam maham bhajani. We also have a relationship where we'll be seeing Krishna, touching, talking, everything. So how to enter into that? So we must at least do the preliminary things mentioned in this verse. Satsangat muktadi sangha. And always hearing. Akarnya. To embrace the eternal, to become free from the false and the cheating, and to absorb our mind in the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. Being free from the false and the cheating is very, very difficult in this Kali Yuga. Prabhupada wrote in the letter that we should only drink water given by initiated devotees. How are you going to do that? Right? Very difficult. Almost impossible. How are you going to do that? Mukta Sangaha. Mukta Dusam. Very difficult. Because a person's association, a person's consciousness is there in whatever they produce. The consciousness of a person is there in what they cook, in what they say, in the songs they sing, in what they write, in their facial expressions. I mean, we've all had experience of walking into a room where people were just in an argument, and we could tell it. Even if the moment we walked in the door, they started smiling at each other, we could feel it. The same is there with everything. But in this Kali Yuga, it's very, very difficult. Never see anything, never hear anything, never taste anything that's full of bad association. How can one do that? It's almost impossible. I mean, I know some devotees who, they've gone to India, they live in Vrindavan or Mayapur. They mostly stay in their room, like some Bhajanandi. They'll only drink water that they've gotten from the holy places. Jamuna water, Radhakrishna water, things like that. They only eat what they've cooked or what they're certain about who's cooked. They're constantly listening to CDs of Srila Prabhupada singing or CDs of books. I know even one person who keeps their shades drawn all the time so they won't see any materialistic persons out the window, even though they're in the Dham. So how many of us can live like that? Is that what it means? Muktadu Sangaha, to be free of bad association. So of course in our Sampradaya, there's been many devotees who did live like that, at least at the end of their lives. Bhaktivinoda Thakura lived like that the last 4 years of his life. Near Jana Bhajana. Near means without, Jana means people. He did this bhajan without any people. Of course, he was associating with people in the spiritual world, in his heart. But if we think that in order to become Muktadu Sangaha, we have to do something like that, most of us will just say that is impossible. Indeed, when Krishna proposed such a concept to Arjuna in the 6th chapter, Arjuna said, I can't do this. And that is not even what Srila Prabhupada is asking us to do. He's not asking us to put ourselves in some kind of a bubble off somewhere in like these monasteries still in Greece where It's up on the top of a cliff, and there's just a hole in the floor where you lower a bucket up and down to get something from the outside world. He wanted us to be active preachers. He wanted us to be exemplary grihasthas. That means interacting with the world. When Gopal Krishna Maharaj was a grihastha, he was working for an advertising agency, and he was advertising Pepsi Cola and Clairol hair dye, neither of which are particularly pious products. And Prabhupada wrote a letter and said he's qualified to be the head of Spiritual Sky because Gurinder had left. And he's qualified to be GVC of India because Tamal Krishna Maharaj had gone from India to America. He said, but I don't want him to give up his job. Prabhupada wanted exemplary householders who had respectable jobs in society. Prabhupada himself lived like that. So what does this mean? It means we don't become intimate with those of this world. We be careful. What goes in, what goes out? What do we take in through the 9 gates of our body, what comes out? We want all the gates of the body to be illumined by knowledge. What do we hear? What do we see? What do we smell? What do we taste? What is our sexual contact? With whom do we associate? All of this should be pure, as far as possible. As far as possible. Everything that we contact should be sat, should be true, it should be eternal. And not only what we take in, what comes out? What do we speak? As far as possible, to choose our association, choose our food, our entertainment, our media, our clothes. We're not interested just in that, though. We're interested in having the right environment. We're interested in that because it is the right environment for the seed of bhakti to grow in our heart. We're not interested just in no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. You could do all those things and be a demon. But we're interested in those things because they provide a fertile soil. They provide a fertile soil. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayanam Kata. So when the Rasayana, when the Rasayana means something that gives you rasa, something that gives you vitality, something that's nourishing and has no ill effects, when the Kata, the Rasayana of Krishna, enters through our ears, it will go to our heart and sprout. And then all of our problems are over, as Prabhupada says here in this purport. Once this attraction begins, it goes on progressively, increasing without stoppage like fire and gunpowder. So once we get to a certain point of advancement, then there's no stopping it. And we want to cultivate this plant. So we should think carefully. We should think carefully. What am I doing? Do I have satsanga? Or do something? What am I associating with? What am I associating with? Am I associating with something that will help my loving relationship with Krishna? Or I am associating with something that's going to steal my mind and heart away from me? Then we can also come to the platform of the pandavas. So thank you very much. I don't have a whole lot of time today for questions, but I can take some. If there's any questions.
I'd like to ask a question. I'd like to ask a question regarding hearing and how we might improve the quality of our hearing. It says here the intelligent, they've heard only once, and yet now they can't give up the association. They can't stop hearing about Krishna. They become mad, maddened by the attachment to Krishna, but yet we've heard from the lips of a pure devotee so many times, but yet that attachment isn't there. So they've heard, the intelligent have heard once, we've heard many times. How can we improve the quality of hearing?
Well, I'd say, first of all, I think you're selling yourself short. I think the attachment is there, the attraction is there, it's just not mature. if the attachment and attraction wasn't there, you wouldn't be having this discussion right now. So even the pure devotees, they never think their attachment and attraction is enough. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't think his attraction and attachment was enough. He says, if I really loved Krishna, I couldn't live for a moment without him. So I do think we should, first of all, if we want to increase the quality of our hearing, we should honestly, happily, joyfully celebrate the attachment and attraction that we already have, which is probably much more than we give ourselves credit for. I see this as a trick of Maya. Oh, really, you don't have any attachment for Krishna. It's nonsense. We didn't have any attraction or attachment, we wouldn't be here. So many times when Srila Prabhupada was speaking about higher levels of bhakti, ruchi and ashakti, he would use his disciples as examples. So first way of improving hearing is focusing on what's already there and growing that. Notice when you are attached. Notice the circumstances when you are attracted. Do more of that. Pay attention in your life. Under what circumstances do I feel attraction? Under what circumstances do I feel attached? Let me try to replicate that as far as possible. Are there certain people that I particularly feel attracted to Krishna when I hear from them? And I come to the honest point of saying there are certain people that don't fan that attraction in me, however much I think they should. Some people do, some people don't. And that's different for each person. We're individuals. So you want to hear from those people that particularly fan your attraction, and in a way that does. I mean, just as a simple example, there's a friend of mine who really enjoys hearing Prabhupada's books rather than reading them, although she also reads them. She reads them every day to a great extent, but she really likes hearing recordings of people reading from Srila Prabhupada's books. So there's a particular book where two different devotees have recorded that book. Let's call them Devotee A and Devotee B. So my friend really likes hearing from Devotee B and not from Devotee A. She said, when I hear from Devotee A, I find it disturbing. When I hear from Devotee B, I find it enlivening. And I feel exactly the opposite. When I hear from Devotee A, I find it enlivening. And when I hear the same book read from Devotee B, I find it uninspiring. So we each have our own personalities. And then look at your what you're doing when you're hearing. Now, Srila Prabhupada never liked devotees doing things during class. He didn't like devotees making garlands or sewing or anything like that. He wanted people to hear with rapt attention. So, you know, are you doing something in the middle of a class? At the same time, it's nice to also hear while you are doing something. It's nice to hear a class while you're cooking in the kitchen. I've listened to many of Srila Prabhupada's classes while I'm cooking. Or, you know, while you're ironing clothes or while you're cleaning the house. I know one devotee who has a job where he drives a lot, and he's listened to a recording of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his car so many times that he's practically memorized the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I know one devotee who, while getting her PhD in astrophysics, I guess I've given away who it is, she would listen to Dravida reading the Bhagavad Gita, the whole Bhagavad Gita, the Sanskrit translations, purports, on a CD over and over again while she was walking from one class to another till she had the Bhagavad Gita memorized. When I was in New Zealand at a retreat for women, they asked me to give a workshop on how to improve their hearing and their study habits. Well, instead of doing that, I had everybody sit in a circle, and we went around, and everyone, they were all or mostly Devamrita Swami disciples, and he requires his disciples, at least living in the ashram, to read Prabhupada's books for a minimum of 2 hours a day in addition to classes. So I just asked all of them, how do you read? How do you study? And of those 20 women, each of them had a different way of studying. One of them focused on the Sanskrit of the verses and connected them to other verses. One of them turned the purports into poetry. One of them turned the purports into questions and answers, which she then posted on the internet as part of preaching. There were two of them that liked to study together. There was one of them that would turn the verses and the purports into songs. I'm really not making this up. It went on and on. And what we discovered was that everyone had their own way. So I think look for the ways that enliven you. Look for the ways where you feel increased attachment and do more of those. And look at the times when you're distracted and get those things out of your life personally, you know, and a personal level. And don't necessarily think that the way I improve my hearing is going to be what works for you, although you may also hear from a number of people and you may get some good ideas as to how to hear. There's also a lot of groups of devotees, study groups, even that exist over the internet. For example, Krishna Dharma and his wife Chintamani in London have a very unique way of studying Prabhupada's books, where they've taken Prabhupada's instructions to study his books threadbare, sentence by sentence, literally. And they go through Srila Prabhupada's books. They've been doing this for about 12 or 13 years. They study each sentence and understand, what is Srila Prabhupada saying here? What is Prabhupada saying here? What are my realizations about it? They've now started a Yahoo group, which I'm a member of, and they share their understandings with the group and ask for questions. And we have a very wonderful philosophical dialogue over the computer. So there's ways you can do that as well. On a final note, I'd say make sure you decrease your hearing of mundane things. That, although Prabhupada says in beginning of Nectar Devotion, there's no prohibition against reading ordinary news, and Srila Prabhupada himself kept up with the news. I think keeping up with the news is important. If you think the president of America is still Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you're not going to be able to function well in the world. So we need to know something of the news, but keep it down. You know, keep it to a minimum. Keep it to what you need for your preaching, for life. Don't become absorbed in hearing the things of this world, which will, again, fill us with materialistic hankering. So that's a long answer. I hope it's okay.
That was wonderful. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Mother Mala, we have a question from Sandeep I would like to read to you.
Okay.
Sandeep asks, Mataji, your talk about Sadhu Sangha, as I am living in Pakistan.
Okay. I don't have Sadhu Sangha. I'm eager for it. I feel lonely, due to which Maya become much stronger, even though I always wanted to engage myself in Krishna. So, Sadhu Sangha, my dear Sandeep Kumar Maheshwari, is not just physical association. It doesn't necessarily mean that your body and the body of another devotee are in the same physical proximity and you can see them with your eyes. Association is hearing more than seeing. At this age of modern technology, association of sadhus is available to everyone. Even people in prison are able to get Srila Prabhupada's books. Unless you are imprisoned by a demoniac regime, against and not allowed to have any kind of books or audio, you certainly have Sadhu Sangha. And as we read in the story of Salted Bread, which if any of you haven't read it, please read it, that when the devotees were imprisoned for distributing Prabhupada's books, that they were able to get Sadhu Sangha even though they were alone. They were alone in Siberia. Not one other devotee, not one book, not one audio recording, and they were able to get Sadhu Sangha in the heart. Sadhu Sangha is always available. If you're really eager for it, and if you really feel lonely for it, Krishna will facilitate you. And take that eagerness and that loneliness as a great jewel. As a great jewel. People who have it easily available don't appreciate it. If you use what you have, you will get more. If you use what you have, you will get more. Take whatever you have and use it fully. And then Krishna will be pleased with you and give it more. Now, each of us is in a situation that's uniquely designed for our spiritual advancement. Krishna is not a fool. He puts each of us in a situation that's perfect for us. So our question is just how to learn how to use it properly.
Mataji?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to share this with you, with the devotees, from, since you are talking, and also explain to Sandeep about a bit about separation. Srila Prabhupada says, feeling constant separation while engaged in the service of the Lord is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Then in another place, as it says, also, the more you feel the separation from Krishna, the more you should understand that you are making advancement. And purport is from 1:15:28. The feeling of separation from the Lord is undoubtedly painful to the devotee, but because it is in connection with the Lord, it has a specific transcendental effect that pacifies the heart. Feeling of separation are also sources of transcendental bliss, and they're never comparable to contaminated material feelings of separation. Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you. Yes?
Okay. You were reading the purport, and I noticed there were two lines. I was looking at the purport that was posted by Ramananda Prabhu.
And it's different. He obviously is going from a first edition, and what I have on my folio is a second edition. And I realized that too, especially something that was really bewildering me when I just looked at the one online. And let me pull up the one online again.
There were two important lines. I mean, they weren't, you know, they were important to the purport.
Yeah, for sure. There was one, when I read it online, there was one line that was just like, what in the world? I had to read it and 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 think, what does this mean?
I have it in front of me if you want to hear it.
Okay, well, one of them was, once they are, where the one that's posted online says, once they are, they will go on progressively without stoppage. And like, once, who's they, and what's the are? I couldn't figure it out. Now, what I have in my edition I'm looking at is once this attraction begins, which is quite different than once they are. And what was the, I assume you found that one. What's the other one that you found?
There's two lines. It comes after the line, they could not even think of separation from Sri Krishna because the attraction was more intense for them on account of continuous personal contact. And what's missing, the next two lines, this is it. The position of separation of the Pandavas was no less than that of the gopis at Vrindavan. The Lord being, however, absolute, even separation from the Lord is as good as personal contact. And then it picks up in the purport that's online, his remembrance by his form, quality, name, form, fame, pastimes. But it's interesting, Prabhupada says that the Lord being, however, absolute, even separation from the Lord is as good as personal contact.
Oh, those two lines were missing, huh?
Totally missing.
Interesting. And then you can also look at this. I'm now looking at them side by side. And it's also interesting that this, what it says, once they are, is replaced with once this attraction begins. Because if you feel once they are, the only thing I could figure out from that is it meant once a person is in good association and out of bad association. I should also mention that Srila Prabhupada's lecture on this verse, which he gave in Mayapur in, I think, 76, really focused on the first part of the purport. Prabhupada talked almost the entire class just about association, and only in the very last couple minutes did he speak about the Pandavas. That was also interesting. But yeah, Ramananda, you may want to look at what edition you have as you're posting.
Well, all I'm doing is putting a link to the Vedabase online.
Interesting.
I wanted to read from Prabhupada's original Bhagavatam that he brought over.
Oh, good. That would be good.
Okay, here it says, once they are started as attractive features of the conditioned soul, it will go on progressively without any stoppage, like the fire and the gunpowder.
Oh my goodness, that's quite different from either of these.
Yeah, I just thought that would be, you know, another take.
Wow. What about these two lines about not being less than the gopis and the Lord being absolute separation?
That's in the original.
That's in the original.
Correct.
So somehow it got knocked out of that first edition. But right. It's interesting that once they are is, you know, to change that to once this attraction begins it seems to me to be going a little further from the original rather than getting closer to it. But anyway, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mother Ermila, I just want to thank you for such a clear and practical preaching and application of Krishna consciousness. It's very nice. Thank you so much for the class.
All Prabhupada's credit. Any other questions?
Yes, she's going to be able to give the seminar on Saturday. I guess the heart will grow fonder, like we're learning
I'm sorry, I won't be able to give class this Saturday. Hopefully next Saturday. Hopefully it's just a one-time thing that I have to do.
Mother Urmila, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask you gave a very nice example when you said that when Krishna speaks, it's so many meanings, unlimited meanings. And is it proper to actually somehow correlate with in material world the situations that we have that so many lessons, like unlimited lessons anybody can learn from one incident or something? Is that proper to see that way?
Can you try to explain that a little bit again?
You know, about the meanings, when Krishna speaks, you said it's so many meanings.
Yes.
And then in material world, when we have certain situations and take them personally, like as a lesson, is it true that actually it's unlimited also lessons in material world for us?
Mm-hmm.
For every person.
Yes. That each thing Krishna is doing for us is giving us more than one lesson? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yes. Why not?
It's not for one person. But what I mean is like it's one incident can happen, but everybody who involved, they're getting unlimited lessons for themselves. It just matters.
Well, I don't know if each person is getting an unlimited lesson, but everything that happens is doing many, many things. That's the definition of clever that Rupa Goswami gives, that by one action, Krishna is accomplishing many, many things.
It said that every syllable of Bhagavatam is infinite in character.
Isn't that amazing?
So there's no end to it. As you were saying previously, different Prabhupada wanted to study these things from different angles of vision. It's like a multifaceted gem. It's three-dimensional. There's so much depth to it.
Definitely. All right, I need to go. Thank you very much for this opportunity. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Brother Malek,
Jai.
Thank you. Thank you.